At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
The Killer Bees!
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Drift Bar in the Heights. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Your spot to see UFC 309 tomorrow. Have some fantastic drinks. Enjoy the best patio in the Heights with this patio weather. Watch some UFC 309 tomorrow. How about prior to that? Watch some college football. There's some really good college basketball this weekend. Drift Bar is the place to be to watch that college basketball. Drift Bar, your tropical escape in the Heights. 0002 wants to know how much you're putting on Jake Paul tonight, Brian.
He wants a your mic's got to be up. He the texter wants to know how much you're putting on Jake Paul.
Who are you
Paul
betting
tonight.
On, Blankers? Who are you betting on in that fight?
I'm betting on Tyson.
If I had to bet on it, I would probably bet that somehow, some way, Paul's going to end up winning because it means more to him. But I really want Mike Tyson to knock his ass out.
I don't know why it would mean more to Jake Paul, because I mean Jake Paul's fine either way. Mike Tyson, I know we heard a clip early, like the Glant and George played it earlier about how Mike Tyson doesn't care about legacy, but I don't know, man. I think there's still a pride, and for a guy who was once the most feared fighter in the sport, I think there's more on the line and more to lose for him.
Like,
if he goes out there and looks bad, I know he's 58 or whatever.
I hope this isn't all just scripted, forced, just to get more eyeballs on it. I hope that you get angry, Mike Tyson, and I hope that he, you know, for the shorter rounds, he just opens up the best can he's got for a couple rounds.
Yeah, and the only problem is he's going to gas out. I mean, he's 58.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Maybe that's why they're doing two-minute rounds. I do think the odds are they take care of each other. But I don't know. Maybe something – I mean, if one of these guys snaps –
Jeremy's just having a blast over there.
I know. Jeremy,
I can't believe
no
we're getting like
us.
Serious analysis on sports entertainment.
Time out.
It's scripted. This is an act. It is a play.
You brought it up.
What are y'all talking about?
You did bring
you
it, up,
it up.
But
you
to be honest,
talk about it. Don't bring it up.
The Killer G's and John and Lance went a long time on this one.
I'm betting on Tyson. There.
Yeah,
short answer.
I think that I haven't looked at the odds here. You know what I think the play is actually?
Jake Paul's the favorite.
You know what I think the play is actually?
What is that?
I think it's a draw. I need to look at the value on this.
That's the safest bet for both sides.
I don't think it's safe. I just think the value's there.
I think that then Paul can get to Canelo, or at least keep pushing the narrative that he deserves a chance to get to Canelo so he can try and get another hype train started.
Whereas, he's not going to fight Canelo.
And Mike Tyson, no matter what happens, gets $20 million to walk away and fade even more.
Yeah. Yeah. This is all that this is. It's a cash grab act. They're going to get paid tons of money, and anybody who's seriously breaking down this fight is falling for it. You are all being fooled. Booker T might as well be in this fight. That's how theatric this whole thing is. But yeah, I mean, you can still bet on theatrics. I'm gonna look up this
you can bet on underdog, promo code BMAC.
No, you're right, Jeremy. I think the safe bet would be Bet it to end in a draw.
Jake Paul's the favorite. He's minus money. Tyson's plus money. I don't remember the exact
minus 300 right now. My book doesn't have a doesn't look like I can bet the draw on my book. That's disappointing because I think that's the play. Play a good old fashioned draw. I'll look at the highlights on Twitter whenever it's over. Ain't no way I'm wasting my time actually watching this.
There's
fight.
A full card for this fight.
Yeah, but
I'm sure.
Mean,
yeah.
No one's going to watch it.
It's in Dallas?
Yeah, it's in Dallas at Jerry's World.
Wow, for some reason I was thinking it was in Vegas. That means it's going to be an awfully late start, Jeremy. You might be able to get to the end of the U of H game and still see some of it.
Well, it'll definitely go on the air after the Rockets game's over.
Yeah.
So if anyone did want to watch that, you could watch both.
What a weekend it is going to be in Arlington. You're going to have Jake Paul, Mike Tyson in this scripted theatric fight. And then you're going to have the rivalry of the Houston Texans and the depleted Dakless Dallas Cowboys to wrap it all up on Monday. What a great, great sports, halfway sports weekend between Friday and Monday in Arlington, not even Dallas. What is your plan B for the Astros if they miss out on Bregman? More and more people are starting to talk about this. Now, Dana Brown, he says that we don't have a plan B. Our mindset is that we're going to go after Bregman and we're going to get Bregman. I would even say that I think that the Astros will get Bregman. I'm like at 60% that they were going to go ahead and give Bregman that money and make sure they keep him at the hot corner for Houston. But if they don't, what is your plan B for Alex Bregman, Blinkers?
I think there's several different ways you can go. You can look to allocate more in trying to find an everyday left fielder, and or you can look at first base and say, are we willing to throw money again at a veteran first baseman that maybe upgrades the overall offensive performance there? And then whether you backfill or try and find someone cheap on the free agent market. I know that there were, four or five teams after Yan Mercado. There were some guys on, you know, Iglesias from the Mets. There are guys that are out there. The guy that's intriguing to me that evidently has fallen way out of the clubhouse favor in Philadelphia is Alec Baum. But that would be – I would be intrigued by that. I don't know what it would cost because you'd have to trade for him. But – I'm with you. I think they're going to – it's scary, though, that as a general manager, I know it could just be media speak, and I hope it is, but I hope they have several plan Bs on a whiteboard somewhere if they don't get them. But I really feel like this is one where they're going to probably willing to pay a little bit more, whether it be in years and or money, to keep Alex Bregman.
Yeah, I think you're right in that the – I don't know what the odds are currently, but I think the overwhelming favorite is for Bregman to return. But let's say they do get priced out. Like, let's say the – there's been a lot of talk about the Nationals. Obviously, we've heard about other teams going for him as well. And he doesn't return to the Astros. I'm not going to use the word, like, sell. But I do think if Bregman – like, if you bring Bregman back, you're clearly still fully in win-now mode. You're currently still fully in the present trying to maximize on your veterans. If Bregman walks and you're kind of hitting a reset button at third base, I wouldn't mind if they took a tiny step – or not a tiny step back, but a step back and pursued options – like trying to trade Tucker and Fromber for prospects before they walk out the door. Because I don't know, I mean, unless they go out and sign something sexy at third base that replaces the production of Bregman, I don't see that option out there. But unless they do that, their margins for them were already kind of small. We've seen them regress from, being up around 100 wins to 90 wins to 88 wins. I would like to see them, if they don't get Bregman, go ahead and be willing to take another step back, look to trade Tucker, look to trade Fromber, rebuild with some high-end prospects, and be ready to be at your best in 2026.
That is the worst idea I've ever heard. Why are we trying to lose in 2025?
No, I'm not saying try to lose, but just I think you're realizing that the margins are going
to
be smaller.
I don't think it needs to be a step back either. Like, you're losing a 31-year-old third baseman. He's irreplaceable. Come on. I like Bregman. I'd be okay if Bregman is here. There's certainly a number that I want it to be the maximum number. I don't think that that's going to get it done. I think the Astros will go over that number, and I'm going to question that number, but I'm not going to be mad that Alex Bregman will remain with the Houston Astros. But the idea that he's some irreplaceable figure, I don't think is true. I also don't think that the whole, if you trade Tucker and you trade Fromber, that you don't have a playoff-caliber team. Completely disagree with that. I still feel like you would have a playoff-caliber team. Now, you have to have other shrewd moves and calculated moves and good moves in order to accomplish that, but it's certainly doable. So I don't like the whole step back, not be a playoff team, all of that. I just don't believe in that. I believe that you can look ahead to the future and still be a playoff team. The plan B that I have for Bregman, and look, I don't like the free agents that are out there. Like, there aren't really any good ones. The best one might be Yuan Moncada, who just broke his hand playing over in the winter ball. So,
did he really?
Like that? Yeah, he broke it. He got hit by a pitch. So, like, takes a little bit of a hit. Now, he would be back, I'm sure. That's probably a 6 to 8 week injury. That'd be time to get back. But he's a little bit older, has never materialized anywhere near his potential. I don't really think that's the answer. The trade market, unless there's a third baseman out there that we haven't heard about. Like, the Alec, I was intrigued by Alec Boehm, but then hearing AJ Pierzynski say that Alec Boehm's like immature and they're trying to get rid of him because they don't like they don't love some of the stuff that he does off the field, whether that's maturity or being a professional, I'm not exactly sure. And Pierzynski didn't get into detail, but that kind of spooks me off of Alec. Alec Baum a bit. Like, I don't want to trade valuable resources for a player who's immature and needs to grow up and needs to be a professional. So I'm kind of out on that. Some of the other names out there that have been mentioned is trading trade caliber players as third baseman, out on that. If I missed out on Bregman, I'm just going to go for the youngsters. I'm going to say, okay, here you go, Zach DiZinzo, and maybe they don't view him as a third baseman defensively, but why did you bring in a run game preventer or a run score preventer, whatever that title is for the new dude? I would say Zach DiZinzo, Bryce Matthews, you guys are battling it out in spring training. May the best man win. My plan B for Bregman is DiZinzo, Bryce Matthews, the best youngster wins, whoever has the better camp.
Yeah, I agree with you in the fact that I believe that this team is still fully capable of competing, whether Alex Bregman's on this roster or not. You mentioned A.J. Pierzynski. I hadn't seen what he said, but I know that when that just is more telling to back up what both of us were talking about in the fact that I want to say that I heard on MLB Network and at least one other resource that I was either watching or reading where they mentioned the fact that they had to go all the way to Bryce Harper to say, you know, is Alec Baum worth having back on this team? Is this something that we can get over to where if it's that big of a deal, and we talked about what happened with the Texans when you got a guy like Diggs, you're worried about personality and you know, is he going to act up? He's going to ruffle the locker room up a little bit. That's something you don't need, but I do believe that in this locker room, that that the guys that are still in the locker room would never let that happen, and I think that maybe a change of scenery might be the best thing for both parties, the Phillies and for Baum, to where I think it could work. I just need the first half production from Baum that he did last year to be the kind of guy that could replace Alec Bregman.
I mean, the Astros have like the leadership clubhouse that the Phillies don't. Like. Phillies are pretty well known to have a pretty good clubhouse and pretty good professionals over there too.
Yeah, you're right, but they're loosey-goosey. They're more loosey-goosey. I think, you know, they let a lot of things slide with, you know, the guys kind of do their own thing as long as they're productive on the field, it seems like. Whereas you got the kind of the more...
Like, what did I miss? Are they drinking cold beer?
Bryce Harper, yes, but Castellanos does, you know, his own thing. And
I feel
and,
like there's a lot of stereotypes going on right now. Like, do we know any of this stuff?
I mean, just what you hear and what you see. I can't say for sure what the Astros do or don't do, but I think it's been pretty clear.
Phillies. Like, what have we seen and heard from the Phillies? Are they partying in the club? Like, I've missed this.
I think that when you look at it, there's been, and I'm not going to get into all of it, but I think that when you look at Castellanos, whether he's struggling or he's good, he basically they kind of let him just be him, and a lot of people have made that known. The thing that's interesting to me is that Baum and the second baseman, his name is escaping me now. He's from Las Vegas. He played with Bryce Harper in high school. They're buddies. They live together. Yeah, and they're supposed to be these. You know, they were supposed to be like two peas in a pod that were part of that good young nucleus that's going to help the Phillies. And now all of a sudden, at the end of the year, this is all that you're hearing. It was surprising to me, and I thought that that was the guy that they were going to build with and around, continuing to go forward. So. I mean, you're right. I'm not in the clubhouse. I can only go by what, you know, my perception is and what I've read and seen.
Bryson Stott. That's the
there you
Bryson
go.
Bryson Stott. That's right. Yeah, I think
yep,
it's Bryson
yep, Stott. Yep.
The I haven't heard this with the Phillies. I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just saying I haven't heard this. I don't keep up with Major League Baseball teams other than the Astros, quite frankly, other than surface level. But I haven't seen, like, the whole – I've never heard that the Philadelphia Phillies clubhouse is like the Boston Red Sox clubhouse back in the day when, you know, they were drinking beer and taking shots of Jack Daniels before the game. Never heard that. 8807, if you can get Bohm for pennies, you do it. See, that's the thing. Like, if you can get him for an incredibly cheap offer, well, he is a pretty good talent, but that professionalism, lacks maturity, does scare me off. And if they're asking for a decent haul for that, well, then I'm out, because I don't want to deal with having to turn Alec Baum into a professional and pay a steep price on top of that. So kick the tires on it, sure, if you're out on Bregman, but I like the route of just going with the youngsters there. Some of these trade options aren't great. The free agents are really backups. I don't think there's even a starting caliber third baseman in free agency, which kind of stinks. It kind of stinks from an Astros perspective, because now Alex Bregman and Scott Boras probably have you over the barrel, quite frankly.
Yeah,
right,
and 7-1-3. You look at it.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Jeremy, the one thing that when you kind of read some of the outlooks for teams in the offseason, the Phillies are once again looking to spend money and they need pitching. So you do have a surplus of starters if something could make sense. But I'm with you. I'm not paying a high price tag to go get a guy like Baum.
I do have a name that I officially want. Actually, two. But there's one that's a free agent, one that belongs to another team. But I want to go on the record with this. I want to go on the record with which free agent left-handed outfield bat I want. I'll tell you what it is next. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, broadcasting from Drift Bar in the Heights.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Vandiford Air. If you are looking for anything with your house as it relates to your heating, your air conditioning, repiping, a humidifier, and a dehumidifying system within your air conditioning units, it can all be done thanks to the good people at Vandiford Air. And I'm constantly telling you about Vandiford Air and telling you to lock their number in your phone because they do what most service companies will not do. They put everything in writing. They back everything up with 100% satisfaction guarantees. And they even guarantee from the time you call them to the time that they get to see you is going to be less than 24 hours, no matter how many customers they have on the books and how many stops they're supposed to make on a given day. Their number one priority is you and your satisfaction as a customer. That means we all know in Houston, especially when it's hot out, when your AC goes, you need someone yesterday, not tomorrow or the day after or the day after that. And that's why they get there within 24 hours. And then once they're there, they're going to diagnose the problem, tell you in writing what it would cost to do the work and fix the part, and also the same if you were consider putting in a new complete unit. That's because of the fact that they want you to know it's all backed up, and what they say and what they put in writing is what they're going to do. From the work their people do to the parts that they use or the systems that they install and the way that everything goes to your satisfaction with the temperature it achieves, that's what they're guaranteeing. 100% satisfaction or your money back. That's why you should consider locking their number in your phone, and I always tell you to do so. It's an easy number to remember, 281-557-COOL, 281-557-2665. The next time or any time you need anything with your heating or air conditioning, call Vandiford because they're going to take you every step of the way.
The Killer Bees are broadcasting live from inside the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Drift Bar in the Heights. Now back to Joel Blank and Jeremy Brennan.
AJ chopping stuff up? Brian, how come you never chop stuff up like this?
Oh, you think
start off
with
a little
this.
Baseball music? What? Yeah, I do.
Start off with baseball
music? That was football music.
That was football music. What are you talking about?
That was the NFL on
well,
Fox.
Whatever. Okay, well, I got that wrong, but he's still chopping stuff up. He chopped up NFL on Fox. I thought it was the baseball on Fox.
Yeah, yeah.
But he chopped it up with the song
that
we're rejoining with.
If played something that was already in our system, then yes.
Stop. Don't undersell that. You never do it. Don't undersell that. That was well done, Age.
What's different? We all play different songs.
Look at that. He starts off with one song.
You got a little defensive today.
Man.
Hit a nerve, Jeremy.
You
hit a nerve. Yeah.
AJ's caught my attention. He's caught my attention.
Oh, okay, boss.
Do we got a little Wally Pip moment going on here? A little Wally Pip?
It's yours, AJ.
Boy, he dumped out hurt in a hurry. He washed his hands quick.
Yeah. Brian's like, yeah, I don't have to work with Brandon anymore. That sounds great. That sounds fantastic.
Think I'm emotionally invested here?
Yeah. Brian's piecing out on that. No big deal. 8924, would you rather have a legit, not over the hill, all-star first baseman if it means not resigning Bregman? I can read between the lines here. You're asking, would you rather have Bregman or would you rather have Pete Alonso? Would you rather have Bregman or would you rather have Pete Alonso, Blankers?
At the price Pete Alonso is going to command, regardless, you don't know what they're thinking on Tucker, though we don't think he's going to be resigned. I don't think I need to see Pete Alonso in an Astros uniform.
He's not going anywhere. He's going to be a Met.
What are they? Okay.
I mean, that's my bet. Like, if we're placing odds, I would say he returns to the
Mets. One of the rumors is that Soto ends up, if Soto goes to the Mets, that the Yankees will then pursue
Alonso. Sure, that changes everything. Yeah. But I if I had to place a bet right now, I would say Alonso returns to the Mets.
Now, do you think Alonso gets more than Bregman?
Yes.
Yes, I do. Yep.
I think it's going to be super close.
Power numbers.
Man. The power difference.
Yeah, the
power
is going to make the difference.
Bregman's got a higher WAR and plays a more premium defensive position.
I mean, look, there's obviously going to be an argument for Bregman, but I just think home runs sell.
Chicks and GMs dig the long ball, Jeremy.
Do they? Do GMs these days dig the long ball or do they dig the WAR?
Some do.
I think general managers look more at the WAR.
I think, okay, let me say this. Chicks and owners dig the long ball because I think that you're going to find owners and ownership groups that want to throw money at big names that hit home runs, even if their WAR is less.
That'll be one. That'll be an interesting one to monitor. 713-780-ESPN. Texter Bo, get Bomb, hire Big Ben's PR team. Problem solved. Are Bomb's issues Big Ben's issues? Because if those are Bomb's issues, I don't want anything to do with them. Like I didn't think it was that severe. No, I just thought he was having, like, you know, not even issues, but it was just like he doesn't really hold baseball in the highest regard. Like, he's got some stuff where – and not even, like, criminal stuff. It's just, hey, he doesn't really love baseball, and he's not really a pro, and he's immature.
The stories were on seeing, again, we're going through the Phillies roster. The center fielder that came from the Angels that also has the long hair, there were the stories that he – Brandon Marsh. Brandon Marsh was the guy that they were saying that he was very quick to, like, finagle and roll through groupie fans and fans and then just kind of, not Derek Jeter-esque with a limo and a signed baseball, but kind of send them on their way, turn the page, and move on to the next one.
Jeter had literally gift back.
Oh, well, that's the rumor that he staunchly denies that everybody says.
I don't know. That was the story. He had a pre-made.
That's what I was referring to,
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's what they're talking about with Bohm, though. Like, I don't think
that's
what's as frowned upon. It's more like showing up to the ballpark late, not taking baseball as serious as some of the others on the team. I don't. The other stuff is kind of like, it's kind of baseball. It's kind of what ball players do. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. So this isn't going to move the needle, because I don't think that you'd need him to move the needle whenever it comes to a left-handed outfield bat. But I want to go on record with this one, because I think he fits in with the current construct of the Astros outfield. Because you have Kyle Tucker playing right. I would like to trade Kyle Tucker, but the Astros aren't going to do that. Kyle Tucker's going to play right. I think they're currently penciling in Chaz McCormick to be their center fielder. I think they're penciling in Jake Myers to be their one of their backup outfielders that comes in late in the game for defensive purposes, slide Chaz over to left field. I also think that they view Jake Myers as a platoon candidate. I think that he is somebody who can start against left-handed pitching. So if you sign a left-handed bat that can start against right-handed pitching, well, there's your platoon. Left-handed bat against righties, Jake Myers against lefties, and then you change around the defensive alignment whenever you need to based on who's starting in the platoon. And then Yordan Alvarez, hopefully he's your full-time DH, but I imagine he'll factor into left field a little bit as well. So you don't need this sexy, splashy name that's going to cost you tons of money. The guy that I want is Michael Conforto. What? Michael Conforto, that doesn't move the needle. I'm not trying to move the needle. What I'm trying to find is a guy who's capable of playing left field that hits right-handed pitching. That's what you need, an outfielder that hits right-handed pitching. Michael Conforto last year didn't play on a very good ball club with the San Francisco Giants, played in what is a pitcher's paradise. And he can hit right-handed pitching. He's the left-handed bat that I want. And look, he's not going to play against lefties for me. He's only going to play against righties. Conforto last year hit 20 home runs at his ballpark in San Francisco. Do you know what that would have translated to at Minute Maid Park? 27. Could you use 27 home runs in your outfield production? And you can also get them pretty affordable, and I bet you could get them on a one-year deal. This is the move. Short term, a guy who can hit righties. He can play a little bit of left field. Not great, but he can play left field, and he's going to put some thunder in your lineup. Give him Michael Conforto.
I don't mind it, because he was a hot name the last time he was a free agent, and there was some rumors that the Astros should have looked at him then. If you can get him on a one-year deal and it's not that much, look, I think the big thing is if you're going to platoon him, then you can't expect him to hit 27 to 30 bombs. But I think that anything where you get an extra power boost from whoever
is... Well, he only had 438 at-bats last year. Like, I mean,
did he play center field some, too?
He's not a very good defensive outfielder. He might have played some center field, but you don't want him there. You barely want him in left field, quite frankly. He's not a good defender. But Minute Maid Park, it's a small left field. I think you can get by with him out there. And plus, you have Myers as a backup outfielder. So what do you do late in the game with a lead? You bring in Jake Myers in the seventh inning. You move Chaz to left, and you tell Conforto to grab a seat because your bat's no longer needed. But he had 20 home runs last year and 438 at-bats. Like, that's a platoon at number.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So I think that he could hit you 20, 25 home runs not playing every single day. Plus, I mean, if he's playing against righties, the other team's starting pitchers are righty more often than not. So that's where I'm gonna go with my money.
I don't mind it. I would like to see it. But obviously, the numbers, the salary has to make sense. But at the same time, I'd be fine with that move, because I think that he still has plenty of baseball. My biggest concern would be if he's trying to find another deal, and he's trying to do a one-year deal, that means he's going to try and play it into more money. And as a platoon outfielder, I'm not sure that that's what he's going to want. But if he's just trying to be all about winning and be on a winning ball club, there's definitely a spot for him in my outfield. I would put him out there.
I don't think his market's going to be all that great, though, to like be picky. I really don't. I don't think if he just went for total money, if he just went for the best contract, I don't think he's getting more than a 2-year deal. He might not even get more than a 1-year deal. His value is not tremendous out on the market. The other Giant that I'm interested in that is not a free agent, but he's been mentioned that San Francisco could trade him. I like the cut of Lamont Wade a little bit. He doesn't hit for a ton of power, which isn't great for a first baseman, right? But he gets on base a ton. .380 on base percentage. He's a way better version than John Singleton. He doesn't really have the thunder that John Singleton has in his bat. He's not going to hit you many home runs, but he's a way better offensive player. So if you can get Lamont Wade for cheap, I don't mind the first base platoon of Wade against righties and then Zach DiZinzo against lefties. So there's another Giant that I wouldn't mind to have in Houston.
So are you saying Singleton's out of the mix at first?
No, he's not currently, but I think you can upgrade there. Okay. I think right now, like if you don't add to that position, I think the plan there right now, if you don't add to the position, is Singleton is going to be your left-handed side of the platoon against righties, and Zach DiZinzo is going to be your right-handed part of that first base platoon, which isn't great. I mean, it's not a fantastic way to handle first base. I want Yiner to play there, but it seemed McTaggart ruled that out. I believe everything McTaggart says. But Lamont Wade would be an upgrade over Singleton. Lamont Wade's a far better offensive player than John Singleton. He's not going to hit the home runs that John Singleton's capable of, but he's going to work at bats. He's going to get on base. He had a .380 on base percentage last year. .380.
Yeah,
no, he's got a .351 career on base percentage. Like, he's not going to have thunder, but he's going to get on base a ton, give you a professional at bat. I like the idea of Lamont Wade, too.
Yeah, I still think, especially as we're both in agreement on the fact that they're just going to ride it out with Tucker, you still have plenty of pop in your lineup to knock him in if he just gets on base. And it's the anti-John Singleton. He's not going to hit the bombs that, you know, the boomer bust that Singleton is, but he's going to hit for a well better average. And so, and he's probably a better, I haven't looked at it, but I would assume he's a better defensive first baseman than Singleton could be. So I would be fine with both of those moves. I would think that then hopefully that, you know, whatever else that they do, that this team is still fully capable of competing and maybe even still adding someone else free agency wise to spend a little bit more to do something to upgrade the team.
Hey, look, those guys aren't going to move the needle. I understand that. But I think they're realistic moves that lengthen your lineup. And this team doesn't have like a superstar issue. The issue with this offense is they're not very deep. You get past the 5 spot in the order, it's like, uh-oh, where are we going from here? So get guys in the middle to the bottom of the order that are above average offensive players, and then you watch this offense go. Because now you lengthen the lineup. There are not easy outs in the lineup. So I'm on board with that. 7-8-6-9, I want Verdugo, whether Tucker's on the team or not. Alex Verdugo had a terrible year.
Awful offensively. God, he was terrible.
Yeah, I've liked Verdugo in the past, but this past year, like I've soured on him because of this past season. So I'm kind of out there. It would be a reclamation project for sure. Talented player that hasn't lived up to the hype. 0002. Am I right? Am I right to believe that Jake Meyers is no longer the rake after his injury? Look, Jake Meyers is not a good offensive player. Like, let's be realistic with who he is. He's a very good defensive player that is a pretty good offensive bat against left-handed pitching. He's terrible against righties. He's pretty good against lefties. He's certainly capable of being a backup outfielder for you, and I think he's capable of being a platoon outfielder for you against left-handed pitching. If you're going to do that, you need a good lefty. And I think that's why Dana Brown's telling you that he wants to find a left-handed outfielder. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees broadcasting live from Drift Bar. Get on out here, have a drink, have a good old time. Can't make it right now. Get out here tomorrow for the UFC, for John Jones. A little college football, a little college basketball this weekend as well. When we come back, who said it? Brian's going to read to us quotes who were said by ESPN 97.5 personalities and the Killer Bees. Guess who said it? It's next. It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
It's now time for super producer Brian McDonald, a.k.a. TreeMac.
I'm Groot.
To do his best to stump Joel and Jeremy.
Well, I'm stumped.
It's everyone's favorite segment.
Because everyone loves it.
I know.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
Yes.
Who said it?
He said it.
With the Killer Bees.
Time for Who Said It with the Bees. Killer Bees live at Drift Bar in the Heights. Best spot for a happy hour drink on a Friday. Best spot for your college basketball viewing. College football, UFC 309 tomorrow. It's your tropical escape in the Heights. Brian, everybody knows how to play. Let's get right into it. I mean business today. What is quote number one?
Well, Jeremy, right. Real quick. Just the interaction before we got back. I said, did we lose last week? It was like we lost. And he goes, yeah, you guys choked. I was like, all I could have said was a yes or no. He was talking. No, he's already talking.
No, Joel's just very easy to needle and get under his skin, and so I took advantage of it. I'm under his skin again.
Throwing you off your game.
2-0, rent free. All right, quote number one. This is what happens with adversity. How are we handling adversity right now on this show? This is what they say defines your character, how you handle the tough times. Like CJ not having good games back-to-back. How are we handling it right now on the show? I'm handling it fine, but the rest of you are struggling.
Dell.
You think it's Dell? Is he not talking to somebody when he says that?
He's talking to Mapes.
Oh.
Because he doesn't reference.
Super confident.
No, I just, as Brian was reading it, I was kind of just trying to place who I could see saying it, and the initial one I could see is Dell's having a conversation with Mapes, and he calls out the fact that, you know, right now, basically it's the people that aren't handling it well when he's saying he's handling it fine. That would just be my first impression.
I mean, let's see if you have a hot hand. Let's go with it. Dell Olalea.
Right off?
Yeah, why not?
All right, okay.
This is what happens with adversity.
No, it wasn't. Yeah.
How are we handling adversity right now on this show? This is what they say defines your character. How you handle the tough times, like CJ not having good games back-to-back. How are we handling it right now on this show?
What?
I'm handling it fine. But the rest of you are struggling.
See, I feel like we didn't get that entire quote there. Like, there were other words that were said within the structure of that quote that we didn't get. We didn't get presented that information.
That was word for word. Other than Granato, was all in there.
Other than the ending, how was the play, Mr. Lincoln? All right, number two.
We agreed not to be back and forth anymore. But all right, let's make excuses. Number two. 6 years, $162 million. I'm not great at math, but I do have a calculator on my phone. I believe that comes out to $27 million per year. That is a reasonable amount. That's reasonable years. That's a reasonable amount. I don't want to hear excuses. Do it.
Sounds Joey to me, but I was wrong on the first one. But
I was thinking Joe too, Blankers. So, yeah, let's just go with it. Joe George.
Okay.
6 years, $162 million.
Dell.
Dang it.
I'm not great at math, but I do have a calculator on my phone. I believe that comes out to $27 million per year.
See?
That is a reasonable amount. That's reasonable years. That's a reasonable amount. I don't want to hear an excuse. Do it.
See, Brian plays the game. Brian plays the game. He knows that we wouldn't think Dell because Dell's good at math, and we know that Joe's bad at math. He plays the game. We got to start going to the next. We're playing checkers. We've been playing checkers for the last four questions. All right, quote number three.
I mean, for those keeping track at home, you missed five quotes in a row going back to last show.
Oh my God, that's our second. I guess our second half touchdown production is off. I'm not giving you the gut feeling on this.
All right, Bobby Slowick, 1 and 2. Here you go. Quote number three. They say coach. You don't say Kelvin to Kelvin Sampson. I don't even say Kelvin. I say coach. That's a sign of respect. I've always believed that. You say coach to somebody as a sign of respect. Like I've told when Laura Beavers is here and our paychecks don't get where they need to have them. She's got to do her job with HR&P. So I say coach. Coach Beavers.
I say coach.
I have a gut feeling, but I will refrain it this time. I think it's John. I think it's the morning show. I think it's those are the two that are most likely, aside from us, probably to refer to Laura by name. John's had commercials where he's met, and every time he does a read for HR&P, he mentions Laura's name. But it just seems like it's either John or Lance to me.
And then I think that they talk Cougar basketball. And that I think the respect side of it, too, with, like, the coach thing, I think that's why it's the old guard, quite frankly. So I'm with you on Granato. You want to do it?
Sure.
I mean, why not? Granato.
They say coach. You don't say Kelvin.
Oh, it's Lance.
Kelvin Sampson.
Right show, wrong guy.
I say coach. That's a sign of respect. I've always believed that. You say coach to somebody as a sign of respect. Like I've told, when Laura Beavers is here, and our paychecks don't get where we need to have them. Like she's got to do her job with HR&P. So I say coach. Coach Beavers.
Do you think he's actually called her Coach Beavers?
No, never.
I don't think so.
Calls her Laura.
I think
calls her Laura.
He's making that up. I'm calling BS on Lance.
That was definitely a fit there. All right, quote number four. Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce's home. Starting over. Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce's homes were burglarized, and the FBI is investigating it. Does the FBI have more important things to do? I feel like the only time I hear about FBI investigations involve P. Diddy or prominent football players.
I think it's Paul.
Paul. That's what I was thinking, too. So far, we've been wrong on everyone. We've been agreement on gut feelings that have been wrong, but I heard Paul as well.
Paul.
We're not going back and forth on these.
Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce's homes.
Hey, we don't get shut out. Yay.
Does the FBI have more important things to do? I feel like the only time I hear about FBI investigations involve P. Diddy or prominent football players.
All right, moral victory time here. Let's see if he can get to
two out of
three.
I feel like Bagwell and Biggio in the playoffs.
Quote number five. Before the McConaissance, this is when no one took Matthew McConaughey seriously. Now people take him seriously.
What the hell's a McConaissance?
You never heard the term McConaissance?
No, I have not, obviously.
I haven't either.
It's a renaissance for Matthew McConaughey.
Oh.
All right.
I did see him on TikTok the other day talking about how he cooks his steak, and then I saw one the next day about how he makes his tuna salad. So maybe that's part of the McConaissance.
Okay. Before the McConaissance, this is when no one took Matthew McConaughey seriously. Now people take him seriously. Interesting how True Detective Season 1 did all those things. He used to be just, here is eye candy man meat for women to go watch a rom-com.
I think it's either Paul or Dell.
Who's going to use the eye candy man meat? What was it?
Probably Paul.
Eye candy man meat.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking Paul more than Dell because of that phrase alone.
Yeah. I think Paul
refers to
himself that way,
unless he's trying to steer us again.
Paul refers to himself as that. Eye candy man
meat. Oh, of course he does. Yes, he does.
You know who else refers to him like that? Joe. Joe refers to Paul like that, too.
Okay. Yeah, yes. I mean, we're not going to win, so I don't care.
All right, Paul.
To be honest with you.
Paul Gallant.
Paul it is.
Before the McConaissance, this is when no one took Matthew McConaughey seriously. Now people take him seriously.
So we lost by one again.
Interesting how True Detective Season 1
shut up,
of all things.
The streak is over, Brian.
He used to be just... Here
well,
is
double.
We got two
in
a row.
You know, man meat for women to go watch a rom com.
You know what we just showed though? We showed that even though we knew we were going to lose, we fought to the end.
There's
like
no
we
quit.
Showed heart.
Right.
We showed determination. We showed that we're willing to fight. We showed that the Killer Bees
Campbell
are fighters.
Would be proud. Yep.
Like this, these are the type of moments and performances where coaches after the game they sit there and they talk about. You know what? This team's about to get hot with the way that they finished. They talk about how they were able to handle adversity. You know, we knew we were down at the half and we knew we weren't going to come back, but we told ourselves in the locker room that we wanted to win the second half.
We made second half adjustments.
We won the second half.
We made a second
as far
half
as I'm concerned,
yes.
As far as I'm concerned, Killer Bees won. Who said it today? As far as I'm concerned, because we showed the tenacity and we showed that we can handle adversity. Whenever we're trailing 2-0 in the 3-0 in the series,
that is a Bill O'Brien leaving Arian Foster down 21-0 in the fourth quarter. Arkansas.
That's enough out of you, Brian.
We got to build
Blankers
for next week.
No, I'm with you, Jeremy.
Well
I'm
going to
try and we're just going to look at it as from the positive side. Yes, at least we were in agreement on our choices.
Yep.
So yes, that's fine.
Uh-huh. Blankers, I'm proud
glad
of you.
Guys
I'm proud of. I'm proud of, and I'm proud of me too.
Proud
I'm proud of
us, Jeremy,
for how we finished strong.
Yes,
in the face of adversity, we saw adversity, we spit in it, and we finished strong. Finally, it's here.
What was the NBC show? This
year
is us.
Two of the NIT. Blankers, can you mute Brian's mic? I got to get to break here. Have a little professionalism. All right. Final years here of the NBA in-season tournament. We all know what that stands for. It stands for the NIT. I cannot wait for tonight. And have y'all seen the courts, by the way? What y'all think of those? 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees broadcasting live from Drift Bar on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Drift Bar in the Heights.
Heights is your spot to watch UFC 309 tomorrow. Always your spot to watch college basketball, some college football as well. It's the best patio in the Heights. Of course, you have the patio weather that's finally here. You want to be outside. You've been locked up inside in Houston with the heat and humidity for far too long. Get out to Drift Bar and take advantage of the best patio in the Heights. It's where the Southern Coast meets a true Texas ice house. 713-780-ESPN. A couple of texts here. 1264. You know who doesn't refer to Paul as eye candy man meat? I'll spit that out in here a second. You know who doesn't refer to Paul as eye candy man meat? Women. Women don't.
I knew that was coming.
1264. That's not very nice. Paul has no problem dating. So no problem dating. Now getting serious, but no problem dating. 2568. Yeah, maybe. Whether it's on his side or the dating
Correct.
Party side, I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I'm not in that room. I'm not in those. I don't care. I'm just gonna stop. 2568. Congrats. You got rallied. You rallied in garbage time when the reserves are in playing for the other team. Shut up. 2568.
Seriously,
no one needs to know that. 8217. I hope that Ime knows that there are no extra timeouts in the NBA NIT. I'm not worried about that. The only extra that I'm worried about, Ime, is extramarital affairs. But the extra timeouts, I'm not. I think he's okay there. What?
Yeah.
It's true.
I don't worry about Ime's game management. Let's put it that way. I'm talking about his coaching game management. That is so uncharacteristic of Eric Spoelstra or the Miami Heat. And the fact that there were multiple things to point to, you just don't see that very often, if ever.
Like, if I had to pick five coaches that I could eliminate, that would never do that. Spoelstra's on that list of five.
Yep. Yeah, if you go five real quick, him, Popovich.
Yeah, he would be on. I would throw Ime on there, maybe.
Maybe.
I would throw Ime on there. I don't see Ime ever taking a timeout when he doesn't have one.
Agree.
No way. Yeah, he'd be on that list for me. What'd you think of these courts, by the way?
To me, they're too busy. They're the Texans red uniforms of the NBA. Everything gets lost. Like, I think it's cool that they try to work in these little customized details for the team. Like the Portland court has like roses in the background of all the. But they're so busy with all the color, and the color, the uniforms. It feels like it kind of all blends together. To where they're the anti-Nets court. You know, the Nets court looks like everything's in black and white, and then the players in their uniforms really pop. I think there's just too much color on the court.
I don't like solid-colored courts. I don't like the red, especially the red. Like, if you had, like, more of a neutral color, it's easier on the eyes. But the all-red court, that's tough.
It's got a real video game feel to it.
Yeah. Now, Ben DeBose did educate me on Twitter today. He said that these NBA in-season tournament, NIT, he said that they are these are made by, like, the league, whereas the City Connects or whatever they're calling them are made by the team. So whenever you watch the game tonight and you don't like these courts, know that it was not the Rockets. It was the
That's
NBA
right.
who put this blood red color on an NBA hardwood.
I'm sorry that you had to get that education from that guy, but yeah, I had seen a story at the start of the year where they've got these big, like, warehouses, almost like aircraft carrier warehouses, where they laid out all the courts and started painting them all. And, yeah, I just think that they went a little bit overboard on the color themselves on the court, because it's a tough follow sometimes.
Yeah, not a huge fan of it. The Rockets, Clippers tonight, I do hate that they're playing. After they played on Wednesday, whenever you had the added stakes today, if you told me that the Rockets were going to go 1-1 against the Clippers in these last, you know, two games, 3 days, I would want the one Friday. I would want the NBA in-season tournament, the NIT, because it's the one that carries more significance. It has more stakes. Now, maybe the Rockets can go 2-0 in it. They are favored, the Rockets are, by 4.5 blankers. What do you think of the spread? What do you think of the number?
Thank you, Kawhi Leonard, for not never playing and being the biggest dog in the history of max money players in sports. I don't care about the in-season tournament as much as you do, but on a serious note about it, I think that from a team that is trying to put notches in their belt to kind of climb levels to get back to, you know, playoff type consideration and how people look at you, if you could get to the final or get to Vegas in the middle of this tournament and make a mark that way so people take more notice of you, I'm all for that. I think that they've got a legit chance. I think the one thing going against you is Ty Lue, for whatever the reason we talked about the other night, just decided to sit the starters a whole lot of time in the fourth quarter, and they're going to be very well rested, but you got a young team. I hope that at home And I hope the extra money and the fact that you aren't making the kind of money that Harden's making, that you come out and there's an extra fire lit under your butt. Obviously, Tari Eason's mom makes references to it, so hopefully the team is well aware of the money they could win if they win it, and I hope they win tonight.
Yeah, I do too, mostly because of the stakes of the NBA in-season tournament. It just means
you want to hang that banner, don't you?
Absolutely. If we're playing for keeps and we're hanging banners, I want to be the team that does it, not the Sacramento Kings or the Utah Jazz. If they're going to hang banners, I want it to be the team in Houston that's hanging a banner. And Group A is wide open. There's only been one game in Group A, but a little bit of an upset with Portland beating Minnesota. So Group A, wide open. It's here for the Rockets taking as they try to win their first ever NBA in-season tournament and add another banner next to the back-to-back. The NBA also in serious talks about attorney-style All-Star game. This is kind of crazy. They would have 24 All-Stars. They would then divide those 24 players into 3 8-man teams, and then they would add the winner of the Rising Stars game, and they would play a 4-team tournament during All-Star weekend where two of the teams play, the other two teams play, and then the winners move on to the final round of the tournament. They're making
this is
a
absolutely
mockery
stupid.
Of NBA All-Star weekend.
That is one of the dumbest ideas I've ever heard.
If the Players Association doesn't have a problem with it, every general manager in the league should have a problem with it because playing condensed games, but I'm sure they're going to probably put money on it too to make sure that they play harder so that they play defense. And then guys are going to, instead of getting some rest during All-Star weekend, they're going to be grinding out trying to win these things. This is similar to the way that they did the whatever they call the rookie sophomore challenge now too, where they broke it up into teams and then eliminated teams with losses. It's just, again, how do you save an unsavable weekend in the season? All-Star weekend is a bust, and they're just grasping at straws.
I don't want to call it a bust. I think the best way to preserve NBA All-Star weekend is to literally get rid of the All-Star game. Just have the skills night. Just do that. Like, that's way better than the All-Star game anyways. And, like, this little tournament gimmicky thing, it's kind of ridiculous. Instead of getting like, – I don't know how you would even do a game. I really don't.
I think you're right.
I think the best way to do it is East-West, quite frankly.
To me, I'm with you. Get rid of the game. Do the three-point contest. Do the dunk contest. The skills contest is a complete joke to me, too. So is that three-on-three-on whatever the veteran and the WNBA or in your current player thing. If you want to find some more, like, legit skill challenge type things or something that's intriguing, I think the three-point still holds some interest. I think the dunk contest could if you get the right guys to enter into it. But It's a tough watch.
Yeah. I would be good just getting rid of the game. Our text line has turned into a bash Paul line. 1264, Paul doesn't have a problem getting serious. He has a problem being taken seriously. That's mean. 8217, Paul has no problems with first dates. It's the second dates that give Paul problems. Why is everybody bashing our boy Paul? What did he do to deserve this? He did nothing to deserve this. 713-780-ESPN.
You know what it is? It's the residuals of the questioning of D'Amico Ryans yesterday. Now they're out
to
get
him. I feel like if he didn't say that, they would still be taking shots at Paul.
Oh, I'm kidding.
I'm not sure that there's any correlation there. DJ Bienema covers the Texans for ESPN, ESPN.com. He'll join us next to break down the Houston Texans. He'll swarm with the bees. It is the bees, broadcasting live from Drift Bar on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.